Pentecost, I'm going to catch on fire going through this. Pentecost is so important that if you come tomorrow, you'll hear a whole different set of prayers and a different gospel. The vigil has its own gospel, and it's a really good one, too, because Jesus, it's one of the ways the Spirit is envisioned. There's four ways in Scripture that we see that the Holy Spirit visioned. I don't usually ask questions, but let's see if we can figure out what they are. What are the four things? Fire, water, dove, wind. And we have three of them tonight. Tomorrow we won't hear the water, but tonight we hear Jesus actually tells us that the Spirit is living water flowing out from him. And this is what we see in the book of Revelation, where the water is coming forth from the throne of God and the Lamb, and watering these trees that bear 12 times a year. In other words, we don't have to work anymore. It's a wonderful image. But it's hard, I think it's hard for a lot of us to get a handle on the Holy Spirit. You know, when we think of Scripture, of course, Jesus, we can envision him. We've seen the Shroud of Turin. Most of Western art is based on the image of the Shroud of Turin. If you notice that the face of Jesus, we can imagine him. He's a human being and God. And God the Father, well, Holy Spirit, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, that's good, Holy Spirit, yet the Lord refers to him as Father, and times he uses the image of a hen with chicks, but always, it's always an image that we can actually kind of imagine a little bit, God the Father, but the Spirit is completely other. You know, we can't really vision what the Spirit looks like, and yet the Spirit is a person and a personality. And we are on life, we get to know the Spirit. The Spirit speaks, in a sense, a different language to each person in the room. He speaks the same language as Catholics, you know, through the church, through the Scriptures, through our lives, our conscience well formed. You know, we all have those things in common, but the Spirit has a certain frequency that we are called to get in tune with, in the sense that, how is God speaking to me in my life? Oftentimes, we recognize God's action by looking back at how things have gone. You know, we have to struggle with decisions in our lives. We have many things that we ask God for answers. We have to plunge in. And then the Lord asks us to look back and see, what was the effect of this decision? Has it borne good fruit? You know, or has it borne bad fruit? If we have a group here that is putting something on and everybody's killing each other, we haven't done what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do. So we look at that. I have kind of an interesting example. It's something I read. You know, it's a secular example, but you can see how things look different in the end than they do at the beginning. You know, when you look at the Golden Gate Bridge, a lot of us have probably seen that. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? It actually enhances the natural bay. One can't imagine the bay without that beautiful bridge there. And yet, you know, it's very interesting. When they proposed to build that, do you know that there were 2,200 lawsuits filed to keep that from being built? Can you imagine? They were wrong. You know, this was something that you know, in retrospect, you look back and this is not exactly a spiritual story. And yet, sometimes God is calling us to take risks, and we don't understand what God is asking. You know, it's only looking back at it you realize, you know, the Lord was building something very beautiful in our lives. And we don't always recognize it. So how does the Spirit act? We get these three images tonight: water, and then wind, and fire. And the dove is another one from Jesus' baptism. Fire is an interesting one. I was talking to my friend, Father Joseph at Sacred Heart, and we were, something I really hadn't noticed that much is that when we don't have too many Sacred Heart images here. We have a lot of Jesus and Mercy images, but the Sacred Heart has got a flame on top of it. So when Margaret Mary saw this, St. Margaret Mary saw the Sacred Heart, here's this flame coming out of Jesus' heart that's been wounded for love of us, and yet is burning with love. So the fire of love is part of what the Holy Spirit sends us. What am I in love with? What am I on fire with? Am I on fire for love of God? Well, all of us are further or closer to the flames, right? But what is my passion? See, the Spirit is in our passions, and in the good ones, you know, in the sense that what's pulling me forward in life. It's often my family or people I love or even my career, the things that God has given me to do, my talents, the things that I do well. These are all the Holy Spirit moving in us. Notice in the first reading, the Tower of Babel, the people are building a big tower. The tower itself was not something that God was offended by. He was concerned that humanity would get ahead of that their technology, if you will, would get ahead of their ability to handle it. And so the Lord pulled them back. And this is what he's done throughout history, not allowing us to get ahead of ourselves. And this is what he does in our lives as well. Sometimes we have to stay in a certain situation and be purified by it and learn something. He wants to heal us, but he wants to purify us first. And so if something's not moving in my life, Lord, what do I have to learn here? What is the lesson? What am I becoming in the midst of this trial that I am in? Because life is one trial after the other. We get healed from one thing and there's something else coming up because it's a lesson plan. And the Spirit is the teacher. See, the Spirit can see the whole picture. He sees our beginning and he sees our end. And he sees us in heaven, please God. And all of this is a preparation for that. Fire is also imaged as in hell, for example. Fire is the fire of anger, people that hate God, and it's destructive. Fire can be destructive if we don't control it, like anger or something that is difficult. Fire in purgatory is purifying. And so you have all these different images of fire. Fire in Scripture is often used for refining. You know, metals are heated until they separate by elements and by weight, and so they form different layers at certain temperatures. You can skim off the stuff that we don't want and pull the gold and the silver and the other things out. And so in the same way, the fire can be a source of our being purified and coming to God. But the Holy Spirit shows us these things and makes that possible. It's the Spirit that enlightens us. As we're going through this, oftentimes the Spirit will only give us the next step. The Spirit's not going to enlighten everything, just what we have to do next, and let God take care of the rest. The other image that is in the Acts of the Apostles that we'll hear tomorrow is the wind that is blowing in through the windows in the that the apostles are when they're sitting in this room, along with the fire that is on their head. And the wind, and in the scriptures, it can be destructive again, or it can symbolize the winds of the Spirit blowing within us, giving us new directions, new paths, new energy, new growth. Pope John XXIII, when he invoked the Vatican Council, Second Vatican Council, used the image of opening the windows in the church to let the Holy Spirit in. Do I have windows that need to be opened or closed? What kind of wind is blowing in? Is it an ill wind that brings destruction, or a good wind that brings life? Last night we had confirmation down at Queen of Peace, and we were supposed to have dinner with the bishop at 5:00. So I packed everything up at about a quarter five, which is a little bit optimistic to get to South Salem at 5:00 on Friday of Memorial Day weekend. And the bishop got caught in a massive traffic jam, you know. So did I. I got caught in a traffic jam right by Fred Meyer down here. The traffic came to a stop right a little bit north of Fred Meyer on that single lane road between River Road and Commercial Street. And I'm sitting there. I was timing this, you know me. It was about 2.5 minutes. You can imagine how long that line must have been going backing up on River Road. And I thought, I couldn't see anything. It was a big thing in front of me. I thought, what in the heck's holding up the traffic up here? Am I going to miss confirmation tonight? You know what it was? You know what it was? Somebody was turning left illegally to get into Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know what I said? I said, praise God. I also said, I hope you enjoy your drumstick, whoever you are. But the Spirit, you know, I guess the way I would put it is, do I have positive airflow or negative airflow? You know, we in the church here, when we turn the air on in here, sometimes there's so much air blowing in the past when it was first built, we couldn't close the doors. Have you ever noticed that? And that's something we've been trying to correct because it costs us money. And it's been very hard to correct. And every time I see these doors popping open, I don't know if have we corrected that yet? It's gone. Okay, we won't see this anymore. But if I have positive airflow, this is all the good things coming out of me. What do I think? What do I say? If I'm constantly criticizing people, having negative thoughts, and being negative about everything, if I have nothing good to say about this individual, this is all bringing down darkness on us. This grieves the Holy Spirit. And is my life grieving the Holy Spirit, or am I calling down the Holy Spirit? This is the thing we ask ourselves as we go through life, is that are my actions calling down the Holy Spirit in my life, or as we do at Mass, this is at the consecration, the calling of the Holy Spirit, or am I repelling the Holy Spirit by what I say and what I do? I had a choice to make sitting in line there. I know I wouldn't miss confirmation, but I thought I might be late for dinner. I thought the bishop might think badly of me if I show up 20 minutes late. Turned out he was late and missed dinner, and I got there on time. See how we worry about the wrong things? The Spirit was teaching me a lesson with this guy's drumstick. You know, life's full of these things. And the Holy Spirit guides us constantly as we go through our lives. Or we can repel the Holy Spirit and try to do it our own way. And if we push hard enough, God will give us what we want. But it won't be for our benefit. So the Holy Spirit knows where we're going. He wishes to guide us. We develop a relationship with the Spirit by listening, acting, and then looking at the results of what we've done. Has this in glorified God in the end? What have my actions done to affect others? Was this all about me, or was it about God? God wants us to think about him, and then he'll think about us. The more I think about me, the more I repel God. The more I think about God and others, the more God's Spirit comes in. So there's this constant relationship with the Holy Spirit that he wishes to give us. We pray that the Holy Spirit will come down on us, especially those who were confirmed yesterday and First Communion today. For those kids, their faces are gone back here, but we ask God to guide us in the Holy Spirit always, our church, our lives, our families.